Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. Are you pondering on whether you're too thin-skinned or whether you're too insensitive? Probably not. But those of you who are, I'm going to give you, on Monday, I'll give you kind of my view on this, because some of you probably won't even be surprised what my view is. But I'll try to put it into context as to, you know, some of the things that have kind of pushed the mores and pushed society in these different directions. But anyway, that being said, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence as to where we've been, where we're going, and what we have to do, as well as the academic evidence-based solutions, basically, on what we have to do. So, anywho, as you know, I wasn't up on Rumble. I'll be up there on Rumble on Tuesday. I did talk to them. The host has some health issues. I mean, just like this host does, but a little more severe, a lot more severe, but anyway, I was more concerned with the fact that maybe he wasn't doing good or had a setback or something, but he's doing okay, and I will be there. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to be emailing them the it's not a piece of art. It's just a line and block chart that kind of lays out the different roles that I've talked about regarding how to get a constitutional county established, what you really need to have, what you really need to do. The pinnacle, the key, the way you actually can claim that you're a constitutional county is when you have a sheriff that has implemented and established a militia for the county that he can task, he can reach out to, and he can work with. And so some of the things that we've got, we have so many legal ramifications, and we've created so many cotton-picking laws that in some places it may be almost hard, if not illegal, because, you know, they're like in Illinois, where they're making it so you can't have guns. Those types of things, which are the color of law, need to be removed. I don't care what the purpose was. We have to restore our rights as being able to not just defend our property, but to defend our county. Anyway, as we move forward, let me just kind of, because what we're going to do, there's not much left on the Monroe Doctrine. I could finish reading the entire thing, but it's I'm just going to read the things that I think are really kind of helpful to see historically. And I'm hoping you're actually seeing the fact that when you were being taught that Andrew Jackson was our first fiscally responsible president, that's not true. And when you start looking at all of, you know, the other little things, like how how Monroe poked Congress in the eye over this little thing that they failed to create the amendment in making this thing called the Department of Transportation. I am telling you, and I've said this before, I believe the divine hand of providence kept Congress in their paradigm and in the space that they wanted to move forward and force the issue, which gave us the evidence to prove that the only way these powers could be created and the only way these powers could be constitutional is through the amendment process. The federal government does not have general powers. Their powers are enumerated, and if they are not exercising the powers that are within the enumerated powers of the Constitution and they're doing things otherwise, then they're violating the Constitution. So just that simple. Anyway, let me get to this endorsement, sponsors, what have you. Ad Local, if you're looking for ISP support, reach out to Ad Local. Give these guys a contact or call. And as a matter of fact, if you have any issues or problems with my endorsed companies, let me know. And so I can reach out and say, hey, what's going on? And so that way I know, because These guys are patriots, and these guys are patriots that are, you know, doing work, creating companies, and I know Ad Local is kind of new. I do know Fortitude Financial is new. But if you have any questions or problems, just let me know. And that way I can, you know, reach out to these guys and say, hey, what's going on with this, this, or this? I don't want to be the, I don't want to get involved between, in between, but what I don't want to do is I don't want to endorse something or somebody that is not, you know, delivering. If there's some real legitimate problems or concerns, I have to basically, you know, make sure that, because I, you know, I value my endorsements, and I hope you do too, that, you know, Timber Nation, Radio Dust Covers, you know, the Constitution classes, anything like that. I mean, I believe these guys are making great products. And I know for a fact Gary Smith is the epitome of a professional, the epitome. And so anyway, as I said, Ad Local, if you're looking for ISP support or anything like that, just give them a call. Fortitude Financial Coaching, Gary Smith, go check him out. Give him a call. Especially if you're at that point where you're ready to actually say, you know what, I cannot see me retiring. I'm going to die a pauper if I don't do something. And that's, unfortunately, folks, like I said last week, a week ago, that over 80% of America has no savings whatsoever. You've got to change that. You have to become your own bank. You know, one of the things when you become a bank for yourself, when you have savings, next thing you know, there's going to be family, there's going to be friends that are going to come along and say, hey, you know, can you give me some money? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the attitude is that, you know, you don't deserve it as much as they do in some respects. But don't even go down the path of the, you know, the deserving or anything like that. When you start creating a savings, you have to create a rule before you do anything that says, if somebody is going to borrow from me, if you're looking to borrow from me, I need a contract where I have, you know, the ability to take legal action if you cannot pay me back. Because nine times out of 10, if you're giving to family, as a matter of fact, you can read this in any financial advice, don't ever loan money to family if you need that money back. Now, I'm going to say this because my parents needed money and they borrowed money from my grandmother on my mother's side. And she had them sign a contract. Guess what? My parents paid that back early because they were tired of her hinting, I don't know if you're going to pay this back or not. And, you know, she was more hostile about the loan that she gave them than anything else. And so, anyway, you got to make sure that you have to protect that nest egg. It's one thing for somebody to have needs and be able to come to you and get that help, but they have to have a tangible, you know, collateral something that makes them accountable as well. You're being accountable. There's no reason why your siblings or anybody else in the family can actually be accountable as well. Anywho, let me move on. Hey, The Swamp. If you have not seen the movie, and it will play in your browser, all you've got to do is just click on that link and it will play. You can download it. It's like 1.3 gigs if you want to actually have that 30-minute high-definition video. But watch it. If you want to understand how deep the corruption is, my hat off to, you know, conservative entertainers do great things, and conservative people do great things. They identify all these different problems. But the lack of a solution is really what's really important, right? I mean, and more importantly, when we start actually realizing what the solution is, it actually helps us place all of these violations into the same bucket. They're violations and they have to be put away. They've got to be dealt with. We have to get things right, period. That's what we have to do. That's what our state legislators, to be clear, have to do. So anyway, If you have any comments or questions, 425-270-5416. Now, let me just dive into, as I was going to tell you, the Monroe Doctrine is probably, let me see, one, not even 1.5 pages. So we will be done today with this. And then I'm going to get into manifest destiny. Why is manifest destiny important now? Why is it so important? It is because the way it is being revised, or the history of America is being revised, regardless of the paradigm, right? You have communists, you have all these different religious ideologies that have their paradigm, and there are religious ideologies that have their paradigm towards America. The majority of America, whether you like it or not, whether the progressives like it or not, all of America was Christian. They didn't allow, until the 1800s, even Jews weren't allowed to openly practice their faith here. We became tolerant, and we became more and more tolerant, and we became overly tolerant when we allowed the Mohammedans to come here and become citizens. I think that the people that allowed that to happen actually was undermining, and they knew that they were undermining our Constitution. It's the same thing as allowing communists to be able to vote and be citizens. That we had laws against communists. You could not be communist and live in America. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so most people don't even understand what America was going through when it was being infiltrated by the communists, and how the communists started surfacing, because the communists weren't up front. I mean, the Fabians came in and they penetrated or got into our education system. And in so doing, the Fabians were able to start introducing progressive ideas. Teddy Roosevelt, who went to Harvard in the early 1880s, I think is when he graduated. Well, the Fabians actually got into Harvard and the Ivy League, and I believe even Berkeley, and started teaching these progressive communist economics and so forth, and statism, And Teddy Roosevelt was a little disappointed with the fact that he missed that New Age theory on government, when actually, if you understand statism, statism goes all the way back to ancient Greece, even beforehand. This was reported, or this was actually in J.M. Roberts' world history book, the history of the world that he wrote. And actually, he's done a few different versions. But as he reported, or as he actually accounted, Alexander the Great, whose mentor was Aristotle, and he was his protege, asked Aristotle, why is it that governments and people, societies, tend to, you know, grow to a point as a society that they surrender their liberties to the state? In other words, statism. Why is it that, you know, as a city, because back in those days, they didn't necessarily have these huge empires when they started creating governments. And so it was very common that when they created a city and all of a sudden things started thriving, because for the most part, things were kind of free. And if you look at the Western society, then you'll kind of understand that the only reign of law or anything like that was prior to that was Egypt. And or biblical and or theocracy. So theocracies were kind of common, but in Western society where they tried to do without, this was before, you know, ancient Greece created civilization or the concepts of civilization. Anyway, here's Alexander Great asking, why is it that, you know, there's this propensity that we keep on surrendering our liberties to the state? Well, Alexander Great basically explained to him, and I'm going to paraphrase, that within the human mind and psyche, you know, the way we feel about family is something that we try to emulate as government. In other words, you end up trying to create either a monarch or you try to create a state that becomes your nanny. And, you know, the noble monarch. And that's why you've probably heard that some of the framers referred to noble monarchies as probably the best form of government for large-scale land and so forth. That was an old and very, very old paradigm. The fact of the matter is, friends, is that statism has been around a long, long time. And when Teddy Roosevelt said, hey, there's this newfangled concept of government, he was not a student of history. He didn't know. And as a matter of fact, a lot of that history that Alexander the Great was exposed to, well, we weren't even exposed to. I mean, you really have to go through the archives and the archives and the archives. And as we move forward in history, it is subject to the whims of those who are controlling it. I say this in my very first book because I tell you that, you know, here I'm giving you a historical look, but I'm giving you facts as well as my biases. The author of history will always impose some level of bias, some level. Unless it is something that they are only reporting or they're only accounting for in a factual basis. And a good example of that is when during the Egyptian Empire, Egypt was actually looking and documenting ancient society, such as the ancient society of Macedonia, before the flood and what that society was like. And so it's not like they were trying to, you know, grind an axe or try to prove something. They did their best in trying to uncover and document what they thought, you know, happened in ancient Macedonia. And so it's kind of interesting, some of the things that they actually accounted for that is completely, completely missed by both the progressives, the seculars. Even J.M. Roberts didn't even realize, I'm sorry for going down this rat hole, but J.M. Roberts didn't even realize that when he was reading how the Egyptians accounted for the religious worship of the ancient Macedonians, they because Egypt reported that they had multiple gods. One god was the creator of all things, and another god was the mediator of, you know, of mankind, and the other god was a comforter. Basically, what they were depicting was the Godhead. And J.M. Roberts, because he was an atheist, because he didn't really understand Christianity, he just looked at ancient Macedonia as a, you know, a what do you want to call that, plurality of God type of, you know, religion, like the Greeks, who had all these different gods and so forth. But anyway, and the Romans, anyway. It's not that it hasn't happened where there's been plurality of gods. They just accounted for it, and he interpreted it as a plurality of gods instead of a unification of gods, if that makes sense, or the Godhead and so forth. Anyway, let me just move forward before I start whipping out the Bible. Anyway, this is what Monroe is stating. He says, it was stated at the commencements of the last session of a great effort was then making in Spain and Portugal to improve the condition of the people of those countries, and that it appeared to be conducted with extraordinary moderation. It need scarcely be remarked that the result has been so far very different from what was then anticipated. Of events in the last quarter of the globe with which we have so much intercourse, from which we derive our origin, we have always been anxious and interested spectators. The citizens of the United States cherish sentiments the most friendly in favor of the liberty and happiness of their fellow men on the side of the Atlantic. In the wars of the European powers in matters relating to themselves, we have never taken any part, nor does it comport with our policy to do so. It is because we tried not to intervene, but do not mix up what he just said. He already told you that we had Navy defending our commerce in the Mediterranean, and we had Navy that was defending our commerce along the borders or the along the waters of Europe. So don't think that we weren't. The Navy was still growing. It couldn't do everything, but we were actually out there defending our trade. It is only when our rights are invaded or seriously menaced that we resent injuries or make preparation for our defense. I want to stop on that. Folks, look at what's going on. It is only when our rights are invaded or seriously menaced that we resent injuries or make preparation for our defense. Look at what our own government is doing to us, and why aren't we actually doing this? Why aren't we preparing for our defense? And actually, it is, if you understand Republic Review is not a defense, it's an offensive to restore. It is the process. It's almost like that self-cleaning oven button. You push that button and it magically cleans the oven. Now, we know that there's some work. You got to go in and kind of wipe off and clean up, and it's not that magical of a button. But the Constitution gave us a process, and not within the Constitution itself, but the design of the Constitution, by making it a compact and making the parties to it the states. In so doing, in that legal framework of creating this Constitution, that framework provides us the process of pushing the button we refer to as Republic Review. This is the process that James Madison and Thomas Jefferson initiated in 1798 in getting the federal government back into basically cleaning the oven. And they only had a little bit of, you know, filth in the oven back then. Look at how filthy our oven has become today. Okay, so back into this. It is only when our rights are invaded or seriously menaced that we resent injuries or make preparation for our defense. With the movements in this hemisphere, we are of necessity more immediately connected, and by causes which must be obvious to all enlightened and impartial observers. The political system of the Allied powers is essentially different in this respect from that of America. this difference proceeds from that which exists in their respective governments and to the defense of our own, which has been achieved by the loss of so much blood and treasure, and matured by the wisdom of their most enlightened citizens, and under which we have enjoyed unexampled felicity, this whole nation is devoted. We owe it, therefore, to candor and to the amicable relations between or existing between the United States and those powers to declare that we should consider any attempt on their part to extend their system to any portion of this hemisphere as dangerous to our peace and safety. Voila! Now we got to the crux, the real meat of all of this. It really did begin in the very beginning of this, and he went through a lot of stuff, but now we got to the crux of the Monroe Doctrine. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me dive right back into where we really left off. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to start at the top because this right here is the declaration that James Monroe made that framed the context of how America would become the cop of the Western Hemisphere. And look at how we have really shrinked. And we have... This has everything to do with the communist infiltration of America. Because as the communists, they want to get us become more passive. As we become weaker from passivity, we become more vulnerable. And so it's taken us a century since the communists, since the communists have infiltrated us. But look at where we are. We have now been surpassed economically by China, practically. I mean, their GDP isn't where we are, but they're there. They have a bigger dominance in the world economically, and they're doing that by manipulation. And China's got its own problems. China is creating this huge problem that they can't sustain. They've also created a military of projecting force, and it is not to make sure that commerce flows freely. It is to make sure that they can impose their will. They are and have been ready to go to war for a long time. They've had a strategy to go to war. Their first goal was to become the economic power of the world. Their next goal is to become the military power of the world. So we're facing a war with China, whether we fight it here or whether we fight it there. We're facing that war. I can tell you that we can completely avoid the war if we actually went to all of these puppet nations where they're mingling and getting the people, because the people realize what China's doing, and they're not happy in Vietnam. They're not happy in Hong Kong. They're not happy in Taiwan. They're not happy in Nepal. All of these nations, they're not happy. It's the same thing with the manipulations of Crimea and so forth with Russia, where communism is coming back in and they're seizing control. All we've got to do, as I've been saying, is we just have to invite them to consider an election to determine whether they would be better off becoming a state in the United States or whether they would rather fall under the rule of Communist Party China. That simple. Anyway, back to what Monroe says. We owe it, therefore, to candor and to the amicable relations between the United States and those powers to declare that we should consider any attempt on their part to extend their system to any portion of this hemisphere as dangerous to our peace and safety. With the existing colonies of dependencies of any European power, we have not interfered and have and shall not interfere, but with the governments who have declared their independence and maintained it, and whose independence we have on great consideration, on just principles acknowledged, we could not view any interposition for the purpose of oppressing them or controlling in any other manner their destiny by any European power in any other light than as the manifestation of an unfriendly disposition towards the United States. In the war between those new governments and Spain, we declared our neutrality at the time of their recognition, and to this we have adhered and shall continue to adhere, provided no change shall occur which, in the judgment of the competent authorities of this government, shall make a corresponding change on the part of the United States indispensable to their security. The late events in Spain and Portugal show that Europe is still unsettled. Of this important fact, no stranger proof can be adduced that the Allied powers should have thought it proper on any principle satisfactorily to themselves to have interposed by force in the internal concerns of Spain. To what extent such interposition may be carried on the same principle is a question in which all independent powers whose governments differ from theirs are interested, even those most remote, and surely none more than the United States. Our policy in regard to Europe, which was adopted at an early age of the wars which we have long agitated that quarter of the globe, nevertheless remains the same, which is not to interfere in the eternal concerns of any of its powers, to consider the government de facto as the legitimate government for us, to cultivate friendly relationships with it, and to preserve those relations by a frank, firm, and manly policy, meeting in all instances the just claims of every power, submitting to the injuries from none. But in regard to those continents, circumstances are eminently and conspicuously different. It is impossible that the Allied powers should extend their political system. It is possible that the Allied powers should extend their political system to any portion of either continent without endangering our peace and happiness. Nor can anyone believe that our southern brethren, if left to themselves, would adopt it of their own accord. It is equally impossible, therefore, that we should behold such interposition in any form with indifference. If we look to the comparative strength and resources of Spain and those new governments and their distance from each other it must be obvious that she can never subdue them. It is still the true policy of the United States to leave the parties to themselves in the hope that other powers will pursue the same course. Now, he goes on, and I may want to actually carry that on someday, but I want to leave it there because there's really only a few more paragraphs, but I'll let you read the last of it if you want. If you want to think about this, and I challenge my readers in my first book because this is important. I want you to understand. Spain was the big grabber of riches out of the New World. The reason they didn't even bother coming north of, you know, what we call America was because there were no temples of gold. There was no riches. It was just land. It may have been fertile soil, but they had no commercial or no interest other than becoming robber barons. In other words, when Spain went into Mexico, when Spain went into Central America, when Spain and Portugal went into Southern, South America, the first thing they did was they took all their gold. They took all their silver. They took all their gems, and they took it back to these countries. Now, as you can see, historically, James Monroe is talking about these countries being new. You have to start looking at what happened. If you understand that Spain, because they were bringing back all of this gold, they were one of the richest nations of the world at the time. Because they were conquering and taking gold and all of, they were stealing the resources and goods of the people. And they basically turned these countries into brothels. I don't know the term, and maybe somebody out there will help me. But there's a term for it when a conquering nation or an overseeing nation of a country, because you see this in Braveheart, where the people conquering actually, you know, take the women and they impregnate them so that they have basically a mixed race. In so doing, it takes a few decades, but in so doing, what it does is it tempers the hatred for these people because, hey, these are their kids as well. Now, you'd think that those kids would be, you know, hating themselves because they're the byproduct of such a vicious act, but it's kind of hard to do that as a kid, right? A kid's just thankful that they have a life and so forth, and they don't understand. And I'm telling you, this was an evil doctrine, but it was a doctrine that they enforced, or I should say they inflicted upon societies so that the society would become more tolerant. They did this with the Scots in England, and England did it with others. And so you have to look at what barbarous treatments these folks to the south of us went and what they went through. You can't tell me how blessed we were and how anybody, and I understand there's plight on everybody, but when you understand conquering and you understand how even the native tribes of America did dividing and conquering and killing and so forth, they were just as barbarous as Spain. They would take, as a matter of fact, a lot of times they would take the women for themselves to grow their tribe and so forth. And if you look at the civilization and how at that point in time, in some essences, there was a law that governed conquering. Conquering was the law and the mode of government at that point in time. There were a few governments in Asia that weren't necessarily conquering, but that's not here for here nor there. There were some different paradigms in Asia. And I'm here to tell you, friends, that the Native Americans, Indians, have had a raw deal because we violated the Constitution. They should have their own land. That land that they're on should be theirs, and it cannot be a sovereign state. And so they'd have to pay state taxes. But bottom line, they should not be subjected to the federal government. The federal government has no constitutional authority to control them. Anyway, we need to take a break, so we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me just focus on Indians right now, because that's where we were going into break, and I didn't want to just drop that. And well, what else? I mean, there's some more information here, folks. If you understand the Constitution when it was being drafted, there were Indians that were being taxed and that were being incorporated into American society. The Cherokee in the southern states were the first to actually be the printers of a newspaper. They were actually beating the southerners in the area, other than the slave owners. They were beating, they didn't need slaves, and they were actually economically, because they were working together, because that's how they, the nomad style is a communal style. And so the Arabs, Indians, and even the nomads, if you want to look at China, because China became a communal thousands of years ago. They worked out these agreements that they had to work together, kind of like what the Puritans tried to do. But the Puritans, because they had Christianity, there were those that, you know, succumbed to the temptations of, you know, the tragedy of the commons, those types of things. Anyway, Indian is mentioned three times in the Constitution. A lot of people don't understand, but it says excluding Indians not taxed. So in other words, it means that Indians could be taxed, but it was up to them whether they wanted to, as a tribe or as a person, wanted to be incorporated into our ways of commerce. Now, this is in Article 1, and this is about apportionment. So an Indian that is actually living, or I'll just say Native American, because everybody is so sensitive. Remember that pondering, sensitive or insensitivity, or thin-skinned? Because there's so many people that are thin-skinned because they all of a sudden they have these trigger buttons. And I understand if you really want to send somebody to the roof and get them, send them off, especially when they're already getting emotional with you in a chat or what have you. The best way to actually, you know, take control is to tell them to calm down or settle down. You're getting a little emotional. boom, and then that really sends them off because then they get even more emotional. But the reality is you've just made a logical deduction that, hey, you know, you're not even reading what I'm saying kind of thing, and you're just wanting to spout the same things. I think you're getting a little emotional here. It doesn't matter how you put it. It doesn't matter how well you put it. It's almost like that trick question. Hey, do I look fat in this? Come on. So anyway, even though as an adult you try to say, hey, settle down, okay? It just sends them off. But anyway, the matter of the fact here is that this Constitution refers to those Indians not taxed, those Indians who have said, you know, we want to abstain from. And this is important because it's not only in the Indians not taxed, but when we look at Article 1, Section 8, it also gives Congress the power to actually, it says, to regulate commerce with foreign nations. So in other words, they're the ones that are supposed to dictate, you know, because if we have good or bad relations, they will dictate whether we can trade with these countries or not. Among the several states, in other words, the regulation between the states is to ensure that one state or the other state doesn't propose any economic warfare. There is nowhere here where they've received the power to dictate how any and everything is to be produced, managed, and sold, or what have you. They do not have that power. They only have the power to play the cop to ensure we don't have an economic war like what the North did to the South in the federal government and creating those abominable tariffs. Anyway, because they figured out how to hurt the South and the slavery movement, and which caused the Southern states to secede after decades. I mean, I think the abominable tariffs started in the 1830s or maybe late 1820s. I'm pretty sure it was the 1830s. But anyway, nevertheless, there are two mentions of Indians in Article 1, Section 8. And it says to regulate the commerce with Indian tribes. These are the independent tribes that want to engage in commerce and trade. So they can, you know, if the tribe behaves badly, then they can put economic sanctions on the tribe. You can't do any business with them because giving them money and trading would, you know, empower them to act worse. So the federal government had that power right there in regulating the commerce of that with us. And so somehow that created this idea that Indian tribes on this unconstitutional land called Indian reservations could create casinos. There's nowhere in the Constitution that allows the federal government to say, you know what, we can backdoor state law and inject gambling into states. And that's what's happened. That's what's happened because they said, oh, well, that's federal land and you don't have any control over that. Why is it that military bases don't have casinos? Ah, okay, anyway. And to promote the progress of science and the useful arts by securing for... Oh, I'm sorry. I thought there was a... It was highlighted, and this is my highlighted version. And then the third time it is brought up is, again, in Section 2 of the 14th Amendment regarding apportionment, because the apportionment is still withheld because... Most people don't know Section 2 actually deals with Article 1 of the Constitution, and it clarifies and stipulates even tighter constraints regarding apportionment. And in this, it basically says that you cannot count Indians not taxed for apportionment. So what the federal government has done, because they don't have any power whatsoever, because as I tell you, the Constitution's enumerated. Well, so are the lands and buildings or property that the federal government can control. It is enumerated in the Constitution that they can have forts, magazines. So forts are military bases, magazines, which are arsenals and storage of munitions and so forth, and needful buildings. Where in there is that they have the power to take a block of land for parks? Where is it that they have the power to steal and usurp land for environmental purposes? Where is it in the Constitution that they can create a parcel of land within state sovereignty to say, we've created a reservation for trees, forests, and people? What? They don't have the constitutional authority. So what really should have happened was the tribes that were left in those states, and I honestly think this is the divine hand of providence, because even as bad as the federal government was, the states were probably just as bad, if not worse, because they were the devil outside that reservation. And so the federal government made sure that relationships between the tribes and the people that lived in the state, because obviously if you were a part of that history and you were on the Native American side, you would probably be very upset, not happy, and so forth. And so the federal government kind of created this long-term mellowing, kind of like, you know, the stewing or the steeping of seasonings into the culture of the states. But bottom line, the states have to stand up now and say, federal government, you have no authority to do this. And then go to the tribe that sits on the land, or tribes that sit on the land, and say, we are giving this land to you, and you have to break this up equally amongst those people who are alive today. We don't care how you do that, as much as we want to make sure that you don't. It has to be fair, so that there are tribal leaders that could easily give themselves the better parcels. That can't be done. They have to come up with a blind, like a lottery, of creating what the land is. Because I'm telling you, if they realize that they, you know, they can't pick for themselves the sweet spots, and everybody has an equal shot at getting that sweet spot, then, you know, people go, oh, well, it's fixed. So what they have to do is they have to break it up. They'll have to divide and figure out how that parcel of land can be broken down into small parts. Now, if there is a business and they say, okay, you know, everybody has an equal share in that, but regardless of how things went with the way the tribe owners were able to actually control that, we know as well as everybody else that there's been abuses and advantages in every culture, period. It doesn't matter what your race is. Everybody has taken advantage of their own people and other people. And so what we have to do is we have to put an end to this abuse. This is domestic abuse that's been going on for a long time. I'm telling you that it may have been better, and the way we handled it, in contrast to the way, and the reason I got down this vent, the reason I went down this rat hole, is I was pointing out how inhumane those natives were treated by the Portuguese and by the Spaniards, in contrast to the English. Even the French were manipulators and connivers and, you know, not the best. They were not, I mean, they had civil law. They used civil law. France uses civil law. Only England used common law. Only England had some kind of constraints and godly law that made it immoral for doing certain things. This is why America was so much different than the rest of the nations coming up. And I'm telling you, the whole world hates America because of its moral superiority. Yeah, there you go. We were the moral superiority that the whole world looked at and goes, you know what? They make us look bad. And that's the fact. We make the world look bad. Now, they have an opportunity to come into the United States. We can talk more about this. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.